I think there is an agreement on the issue of the emissions of the part one is the one. The second one is that we said that there must be one authority that can become the concurrent of several powers, must be the executive one. That one. The third issue is around the issue of this exception circumstances. Now, in our case, we're talking about a situation where this thing has to be done. At times, we find that it is not when you're dealing with this thing, it is not affecting much of the population. It means you dealing with a development that has been affected, therefore it has no financial implications. Therefore, the basis of that is that also is something that must be catered for here in that case, because there are no financial implications in that case. Therefore, it's something that has to be looked at. Because we don't have to change budget, we don't have to allocate more money, we don't have to try to budget, we don't try to administrate it, or the now, this one talks about the issue of the collapse or any other. Now, these things sometimes they go beyond this. The intention of the lawmaker is no longer known. So we are no longer there to decide. Or to tell people that our intention. Now, I'm not sure to the colleagues.
Okay. system.
Yeah, the new close to as proposed. Everything it sounds relevant and good, but I'm trying to check what was wrong in the previous proposal that we had earlier on. Unless it, I think this captures everything, even the concerns that we raised, is well covered in this the new clause as it stands, in terms of the new draft. If the answer is to the affirmative, there are no problem. We can accept it as it. But just I'm trying to check as to that our fears in our last meeting. Because it was quite in a way that we catch up with it. We're trying to avoid this thing of time here and whatever, these exceptions. If that can be, if it can allay my fears.
Okay, so thank you very much, Zara. I think you will respond to that, because I think we're applying what you are saying. No, in the sense that you are correct in saying that the issue of this financial year, the 6 months before that, is something that sometimes it can expand serious consequences in delay. I think that's what you are saying. I think in ourselves we're alive to the fact that when there are financial limitations, you must not create an unnecessary tension, not only tension but pressure to departments that get looking and pressurized. However, we're saying that within that context, on things that don't have financial limitations, problems must be allowed to move. I think that's obvious. In that case, people must be able to move. But of course, where there are financial conditions, you must be able to move. That that's one thing. The other thing that was an issue of the concern. You know, today, we're with the problem of Zuma Kali. The problem of Zuma Kali are doing two things. They are investigating a municipality because there are problems with that there. In that, the collected investigation, and they informed us sometimes that they are going to investigate. They never informed us of the outcome of the investigation. They were coming to present a full statement we have in terms of question 109. Now, we are coming to you only because the Constitution requires us to consult you when you interpret. Other than that, that would be fine. But in the course of that, doing that, there's intervened in a municipality of Amaju, but it's municipality, Nyanzi, and Newcastle, dealing with the water. In that, they conduct their, they want to conduct Section 78 assessment, which is going to result probably in the allocation of public funds. It's not directly related to this, but part of this thing, Now, clearly then, what we're raising there is that the in the process, I mean, they are looking very strong to the allocation of funds, which then is some issue of the process being able to move at the time it feels that it must move. Now, I'm saying these things, they happen in Berlin. People are dealing with this issue. But this one is more of the subsequent laws than this one, in terms of what we're talking about. It's not more of the boundary. Because we're dealing here with the boundary. Now, I'm saying that I think you must be responding to issues very the issue then that is quite critical to me that makes me to raise this one is this 6 month period which has been appeared, which Federal was saying they expect to complete to come. Because now the demarcation board will be presenting a report to the mid in December. They expected in terms of compliance with this, if this bill is passed law by January next year or by December. The department is expected then that the committee letter should submit this thing in the same period of 6 months. Even if they get a report in December, there's no time to engage and to pass. Then to me, I think then that also you must talk to that. Because the Department of Treasury, when they were here, they were saying no, they are prepared to pass. In fact, I met with a big guy of finance, the DDG, Mayor. You know the DDG of finance?
No. National Treasury?
Yeah.
Longista.
Longista.
So here.
Pudilia. I met with talked about it. No, you are crazy. If there is no treasury, there is a problem in the time to look for. In fact, the guy that came here was sent by him. He's under him. And we met, this guy was there. 4 months ago, there was a problem. And we raised quite a lot of things that we thought that treasury was okay. No, he said no. You must present views, but if you don't present, you move. Now I'm saying on this thing of 4 months, I spoke to Shaggy. Shaggy said so. It's not a problem. Now I'm saying, as he presented here, and I'm not sure why he do the changes. Now on count two, if you look at this,
the 4 month period was with
the subsequent rule.
This one was where the board agreed that they had to be 6 months providing that there is an exception clause if they come out of emergency. So what I've made up is that exception
clause. It means the issue is on then I think then the response to those that has been raised by the colleagues,
it wasn't just a question of the 6 months, which the through the 30th of June every year that the Minister of Finance must be notified, but of course that to be published in the Gazette. I'm looking at the old determination for this effect and commencement that we use for following the date of publication of the notice affecting such determination. And I recall that at our meeting that could take up to about 3 months before you get to the Gazette, plus it's got to be another 6 months, and then plus you've got to wait virtually until the 1st of July. It could take anything up to 9 months or a year before this, under the old wording.
Recall those objections. Okay. Well, let's hear from you before the technical people here.
Yeah, on closer scrutiny again, this is too technical here, and we don't to say yes on the technical because when you read this presentation, especially the last sentence, I'm already reading all the what's the underlying whatever. Now when she started to decide on a different or shorter period than the period referred to in paragraph B, right? Now, the implication here for my understanding is that it might be 6 months or it might even be less than that. Now, indirectly, the implication that says we shouldn't say the 6 months because it says may decide on a different or shorter leave. That difference means we'll change the 6 months, as soon as saying no, we're not mentioning it. It's there. You know, 6 months might be short. So this one is tricky, chapter 7. But I wanted to explain this on a different, you know, on a different or a shorter period. Now, this difference means it's no more, it's something else. But this is something else which, in my mind, might be 6 months. It means it might be shorter. Now, the shorter is having to go to the form. Now, yes, chapter 7. It might not be categorical here, but the 6 months is still there. Or even the not the other period, but the longer period is still there in terms of this. It's too technical here, but as I said, let them allay my fears on this one. Thank you.
All right. Let's not let the kids will come to... The committee opens up also.
Thank you, Chair, for that introduction. I think this is a technical mistake here. The state law advisor omitted, writing this, omitted the A in brackets. It should be A and B. Now, A refers to the first, the different, the word different refers to the A.
Okay.
Which is the commencement date, you know, in the law, in the actual bill. The bill, it refers to A. A in the bill says the commencement date. So when we say different, we mean if we have the A there and B, then it will be different or a shorter period than it refers to A, which means a different date to the commencement date. It should be different. Date to the commencement date in A, and a shorter period in B, which is a 6 month. That's how it was originally written as a proposal. It's the last time round, you remember when we discussed the A and B, but it's been left out now, out of there. You know, it's not here on this copy A and B. If you read it, if it has referred to in paragraph A, which is not there, and B, then it makes sense. Because in other words, if you use the word in language, you say respectively. Referred to in A and B respectively. That means different will apply to the A clause in the actual bill, and shorter period will apply to the B clause in the...
All right. Now they are saying the other thing that may
not be it's for purposes of writing it clearly in law, because if you don't make it clear in law, then if you effect any notice, it can be contextual and so forth. And that's how one of our lawyers proposed that we do an exception clause.
Thank you, Chair.
What happened there, Madam, if you can explain the issue of, what was raised by the difference in terms of our approach for the sum of materials that don't affect, financial interest. Here you are raising an issue around tax that is corruption in terms of the personal debt. That is, talking about that, our concerns and your concerns. And of course, you can also, raise an issue what are the
based on the news. Okay, Chair, what we suggested to the South team, especially to the state law advisors, is that the principals did not feel it adequate to leave exceptional cases just as it is, simply because then it leaves it to arbitrariness on the part of consultation by the two parties involved. So, first suggestion was made, define exceptional cases, right? And a second suggestion made, or refer what would be types of exceptional cases to other parts of the Structures Act. So in other words, if we define exceptional cases, we will have a class of items, A, B, C, D, and below that we will say, and for any other reason or any other matter. So it guides the decision making. It doesn't become totally arbitrary. Now, if you remember clearly in the meeting, several meetings ago in this committee, there was that issue raised. Why don't we do it? But we never went at, I think we decided let's leave it at exceptional cases as the word. The second issue is that given that in Section 87 there are matters which are likely to be the exceptional cases that an NEC might consider, we can cross-reference the term exceptional cases to such occurrences. Now, I think this suggestion was made in terms of the three exception clauses. There was one exception clause here. There was one proposed in Section 75 by GPLG, if you remember clearly. So we were calling for greater definition. Now, for instance, there might be a problem of how we cross-referencing here, because if you remember clearly, the Demarcation Board said there were incidences like changing of boundaries because of development reasons. And therefore, maybe that section is, the section that is referred to there would result in actually some changes in finances. So maybe it's not entirely relevant there, but the principle, the proposal still stands. We need to define exceptional cases, even in that first exception clause. And maybe then the reference to Section 87 should refer to the exception clause, or exceptional, where we refer to exceptional cases, it should refer to those in later on in the bill. Thanks, Jim.
All right. I think we've heard that the intention is to ensure that
thank you, Honorable Chair. When I looked in this clause this morning, especially this term exceptional cases, there are a lot of legislation which that refer to exceptional cases, but in most of this legislation, this exceptional cases is not defined. Also, I was at pains to link Section 86 and 87 of the Structures Act with this clause. But this issue was raised by the department, but I just felt that this must be forwarded to the committee so that the committee can decide. But because I was pains really to link with 86 and 87, because according to my understanding, the committee was talking about finances specifically, but it's up to the committee to decide what do they need with it.
No, it's quite true that it was more on the finances. But we went beyond to look at then that in the event the finances are not affected, we need those are special cases. That's why Meron is raising the issue of the problem. We find that there's investors here on the problem. You must approve. It affects. And when you find that there's no land, take the land of the other one, you must ensure that the rest of the market is there. In that area, treasury is not quite full money for that thing. There's something that is developing that. That's what we were raising among other things that are supposed to be included there. So that development is not hampered. It is able to move, because you are not going to go to treasury because the PLC says that I want things for second class. I want money to be allocated for things. Because the developer is engaged in that process, which must be reported. Now, we'll look at that type of thing that we will read. Now, I'm not sure to yourself, technical teaching, that when you say for such other area, maybe on your raising an issue that it seems that in terms of this, that you talk about other things, that it defines other things, right? Because to me, this thing of where there are no financial obligations, I would be comfortable that that's part of it. Because your argument that you're making from treasury, but you're saying that you keep one, they treasurize one the money. If the money was involved, why?
Sorry, just on the construction here, one.
To me, I think I'm not sure from the colleagues. This thing, I think, as we said last time, that you must have a deal where it has been. That's important. Now, the way you're putting that department at the back of the rest, they want to ensure that it is the criteria for you to take a decision. Fine. But at the same time, it gives you a room. When you say only other matters, that include areas that you think are important to decide. Which in that way, to me, I think it makes a win-win situation. Because my own account to the boss, therefore, you find that in fact, must sympathize what his boss is saying, the only matter. But at the same time, I mean, and we didn't understand that it is the process of the committee, right? Using our solicitation. In fact, we were just being general by requesting the name of the committee of the department. But otherwise, it's a plan, you know. You find that we didn't allow the department to certain bind, that's not our prerogative. But we wanted to show that the situation that comes out of this is more and more consensus. If not total consensus, sufficient consensus. Now, I'm not sure then from colleagues. I think what Mrena is being raised is that this being on the issue of the definition of the scope within which we have it. He tried to do that when he talks about this section, 87, subsection 1 of the Structural Act, where we define it. But at the same time, it says any other matter. It means it defines but also opens. And then therefore, it's a win-win situation where you find that it can mean whatever it is that you want to say. And I think that we're on grade just with the issue of the different motion capitals, that the problem that was not clear is because we are not covering the name of the. I'm not sure if you're going to the technicality of it or company.
No, if my
chairperson
is comfortable, then I'm fine.
Yeah. I understand the pain that you have as a woman. The pain. But you are very pragmatic. Like, what do you do? You take pain. Otherwise, you never move because you're in the comfort zone where you're comfortable. There's no move. And I think that's how we must deal with it. I think there's an argument brought me on this. Mayron, are you saying that the department is supported, no?
Chair, I want to raise two issues. One issue, which is just a technical issue. The term there says such as. Now, when you use the word such as, an official reading this on the ground will say such as those things referred to and no other things. And I was wondering whether subject to advice on the state law advisors and advocacy, we should say including. Because including means, aside from other things, you ought to take these stuff into account. So that's one point. I just got the technical issue, because I'm looking at somebody who's trying to interpret this on the ground and in the offices. And there's a debate between two officials who say, no, because development is not referred to there, therefore you can't take, I'm just trying to look at those kinds of problems. But of course I have to register a much more fundamental concern, which is the concern, you know, on making the MEC central to the decision making. So in consultation with the principals, it has been pointed out that the construction does not necessarily recognize that there's a fundamental hierarchy of decision making and among officials, among the three spheres of government. And this has been, by and large, accepted within the intergovernmental relations framework. And secondly, that if both the minister and the MEC have to agree and one does not agree with that, rather than the MEC must actually take the final decision, there's a possibility we see a zero-sum relationship where it does not exist. I think this was pointed out by the demarcation board where they felt the national minister will dominate, but that thing is a zero-sum relation where it possibly doesn't exist. Secondly, we just want to register our concern that, you know, provinces are regarded as part of national government. When you talk of government as a whole, provinces is an incredible, constituent of national government as a whole. And therefore, you know, provinces act within bounded limits. It's not unbounded and so forth, and the limits are not the powers and functions are not unfettered. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you very much. Well, I think it's part of what we've been discussing. In fact, I think that theoretical approach is what we've been discussing. That, this thing of centralization is coming by that door. That's an issue that we are raising. That it just must be declared that provincial government and local government must be, you know, must be saying it's here. Not a tier system, where you find that we talk about hierarchy. This constitution doesn't talk about hierarchy at all. Anybody who tells about hierarchy is not in the book. Chapter 3 of that constitution is talking about interdependence. It means that they are tier. That's why even the term tier, because tier. Because it recognizes that there's no hierarchy. Now, a person who argues for a hierarchy, in fact, it's an unconstitutional argument. That statement is unconstitutional. It's not there. It's against the constitution. The single advisor, I think, can agree with me that in terms of the construction of the new constitution, unless one to amend the constitution, then we can make that argument. But a constitution can't stand. He talks about tears of government, not tears of government. Tears of God. I mean, you know, at some point, the province used to take decisions, even on behalf of, on how to exhume a body. And in fact, it applied to the province, exhuming a body from Mantua's death. And that thing was God. The constitution, when they kick in the new constitution, and they do that now. Those things, the tears must play that role. Now, I'm saying, I think that goes fundamentally against, because, you know, once you're the seer, you allocate certain responsibilities to people. There's no big brother. No one can try, no, you are a small geographical area. Right? Therefore, if you are a small geographical area, I have the right to take what you do. I have the control over your business. Correct. And I think it's to people who are to legalize here. I'm interpreting this thing called control of government. Therefore, I'm saying it is not in this context, because when we asked you last time, why are you taking the power away? You never responded. Even today, you are not giving an answer. Why are you removing the powers that are originally conferred to the provincial government? No answer.
Okay, it's not that I don't answer. I don't think I came here ever with the instance that I wasn't moving powers. I came here with a clause that that was acceptable, and I have examples in the Municipal Finance Management Act, which I read out to you. You might decide that you have to really amend that old act. I went through that act, and it says clearly the MEC, things like the MEC must notify the cabinet minister, the minister, and he uses the word must. I just thought I'd point that out and rest my case.
Yeah, no. I think you've made your case, but your case is not made, is not convincing. You know that the TFM is amended. The public finance one is amended.
It's going to be.
Yeah. In fact, we are going to amend the Municipal Finance Amendment. In fact, we have started a discussion somewhere in the corner there. But it's going to happen. Now, it means then these things that happen in a way that we maybe we're still sleeping are going to be looked at. Now, I'm saying, to me, I think let's keep the spirit and the lack of the constitution. As a constitutional state. The rule of law. Very important. Now, I think this one, we. I'm not going to be very. You're advanced, you can. It's fine. But despite that, I think we agree on this. And we'll take it.
I just want to confirm if you accept the clause that it is with the proposal of the department.
Yeah, in fact, that's 100 council. That's a little of a reason. That's what I was saying about that, because it says that it's more, some more interesting approach.
No, I thought that you're moving.
No, let's hear from the letter this now. Tell us. But is there any harm in putting food? Well, you know, you look at the municipality in the cockpit there. Oh, I mean, but this thing is empty, then it's probably going to be this mobile phone. The cockpit, that's it. Then I was putting including, or we agree with including. Okay.
There's no harm.
No harm. It means in the place of budget, in the place including.
Yeah.
Those are the facts.
Okay.
You see, Melon, we are not hard. Eh? We are able to compete. Then can we, I think we agree on this one. Then we come to continuing them, madam.
So three is fine, we can touch that. So four is fine. The next clause you look at is clause five. So five, we usually had proposed changes, but now those changes will move down to clause six. And I'm relaying those from I think of clause six. So clause five remains as it appears in the board, but only that definite involved. So six is restructured in quite a big way, because we have now in clause six time to make allowances for the chairperson to come after the members in that board committee. So that was the policy decision that the committee took last week. That resulted in quite a few consequential changes throughout the board, and I will not go throughout the board, but on the paper here, and several of the subsections, and then also another new text, a new clause that we had inserted for the sake of addressing that consequential change. So, for 6A, remains as it is, up to the word municipality. So section 73.1 will now remain as it is, but then and comes out.
Yeah.
Right. The reason that and comes out is because there were only two subsections, but now we've added a third subsection. So and moves through your off your second subsection to the So if you could just look at your performance and so we have to one as the amendment A. Then we include and after the and the in A is a consequential change. This is now in the 3A. There's a consequential change to 53A and 3A. The councillor representing that board in the council, who must also be a chairperson of the committee. We're taking that out because now it's no longer the council is the chairperson of the committee. So A will be the councillor representing that board in the council. And then B remains as it is in the Act. And we have and after B. And C is now the proposal that we have at your paragraph C on the proposed amendment, which says a chairperson elected from among the 10 persons referred to in paragraph C. So because paragraph A now the section will be a ward committee consists of the councillor representing that ward committee, sorry, that ward in the council, not more than 10 other persons, and C, a chairperson elected from among the 10 persons, the person that is not here. And then there are consequential changes near to me that we get to the essential concern as a chairperson. Because the OG person members in those sections, in those subsections. The committee wanted us to insert a D after D. Look in the bold. It goes up to D. The committee wanted us to include a clause E to allow for the MEC to monitor policy criteria calculation after expenses first in paragraph E. Now, that the committee had agreed on, but today the department also felt that, well, I think I need the department to explain their position on that clause, but they also come to us with a counter proposal. The clause at the committee being on last time was that anything that monitored the policy criteria and calculation of the out-of-property expenses referred to.
Thank you, Chair. The concerns that were raised on the floor, I will just convey them to you. Number one, it's argued that that in the first instance, the local municipality is determining the criteria and the policy and so forth. And therefore, we say nothing that they should monitor. By implication, we are saying that they shouldn't monitor, the MEC should monitor. By implication, a municipality ought to also be monitoring its policy, aside from developing criteria and policy. It should be monitoring its policy. Therefore, that's the first point. Now, the amendment that was proposed, which says that the MEC must monitor, the amendment assumes that the local government does not have monitoring responsibilities. It ought to, as I said earlier on, also monitor its own policies. But if the MEC has to monitor the policies, then it follows that the MEC should at least have also been the originator of guidelines for those policies or all policies that he puts in the project. He's not the originator. The local municipality is the originator, and he has to then monitor something in terms of which, from a provincial-wide perspective, he has no framework or anything. So the problem becomes, how does he intervene? You know, how does he intervene? Because if he has to monitor, well, the responsibility that comes with monitoring is also intervention. You don't monitor for the sake of monitoring, and so forth. So if the MEC is the originator of some sort of guideline in terms of which municipalities form policies, then the MEC can monitor those policies in terms of its guidelines. So we think there could be some practicability involved here. We're not quite sure how practical it could be. I think, for instance, if the MEC is given the responsibility to monitor these policies, it stands to reason that you should also be the originator of the policy through a set of guidelines. One option, and the second option is maybe we should say that this policy that the municipality determines must be disclosed in its annual financial statement. That's one way in which, you know, government-wide one can begin to at least look at those statements and look at and monitor. The public and government as a whole can look at it. So essentially the argument is that if you give the responsibility to the MEC, he's not the originator of this policy. He has to monitor, or monitoring assumes some sort of intervention. On what basis he intervenes if he hasn't originated the policies through a set of guidelines and so forth. So that's the basic consensus, Chete.
These things, when we're talking, we're connecting with the energetic and the reasons that are clear, too. Right? Now, what it means is that if you're a decision maker and you're making, you understand that, no, this thing is clear, right? That's why you find that committees become edgy to talk about laws. Everyone is discussing. Is it the right thing to do? We have a position. Because you find that the policy is not there, it doesn't understand the context of the discussion. When you are called, yeah, on the issue, you are briefed, you have your own view, which doesn't understand the context. And you change your own view. What discussion is the right thing? It's something that you're looking at. Quite similar. Now I'm saying then the issue here is that as we discuss it here now, we're saying this thing was raised by Mr. White. I can even remember who said what. You were saying some council will go overboard in this thing. Why does it not make sense? And I think you know that yourself, if you've been following local government, that when the minister, you know, a time before the new system, and NEC had the right. Which is what I'm saying, that this thing of laws has been, over time, taken away from us. And MEC will determine the maximum limit of salaries of companies. The rate, right? Which is done now by the national agreement. Then go check the relationship. I know what I'm talking about. I'm very clear about it. Determine the maximum limit. And you find that then you know your category, right? You find that the municipality, even the most poorest one, that depends on class, will go for the highest, the Rolls Royce. Now, that's what happens. You know that. It is this. Now, if you are the concern raised by Mr. Oswald, you say, no, this thing, if there is no way of ensuring this avoided, it will be approved. That's why then we said that the people who can look at it as a province, but a municipality also is affected. It can win that battle. Which is working in local government. They are not separating the force. In fact, some doctor must deal with the OCA. And then you know. Because there's no separation of power. You find the speaker becomes the man. You find that the chair is a member of the mayoral committee. Chairs a committee that's supposed to give up a life of the member of the mayoral committee. Suppose you're saying that. Therefore, there's no separation of power. You can't move into your parents' family. Self-regulation. There's no one. Now, it is in that context then that we said no. You require somebody who knows how to be able to say it's a bad person. The point that you are raising in relation to on what basis do you monitor the cell phone? Because when you monitor something, you must have a criteria to measure it against. And say on the basis of this thing, I think it's out of line. It's not arbitrary. I mean, that's a cell phone. But at the same time, as much as you raise points, the second part of the discussion, you are supposed to say, what are the solutions, my friend? It's not to say that the council must wait to raise itself. To me, I think that one is really, given the status of the policy, the way it is, I think it's not safe, not safe.
I think the suggestion, the comments are made, leads to some suggestions, and they're quite obvious. That we said earlier on, the municipality must determine the policy criteria for the calculations of a pot for out-of-pocket expenses. If we want the MEC to monitor, we could say that the MEC must monitor these policies and criteria and expenses in terms through a set of guidelines. Let's say he must regulate these through a circulation. And then we go back to the other one, which says the municipality must determine the policy and criteria for the calculations, and we can say at the end, in terms of provincial regulations, you know, established by the MEC. Yeah. Thanks. Because one of the other suggestions also is, one reason is that because this is a new initiative, a new policy initiative now, perhaps at the outset over the first 2 or 3 years, there needs to be some province-wide standards being set, the framework, so that everybody could, walk within that framework. And after a while, municipalities get used to certain standards on their own, and they can be left to move out on their own. Thanks. Otherwise, Chair, what we will find is that we'll have such disparate approaches, and with no framework, then we will have a very similar situation that we have now where sometimes the municipalities and provinces, when they're having a dispute, they turn around and they look and they say they see no law. They see no guidelines, no regulations. And then they say, no, but we can't resolve this dispute because you don't have any regulations or guidelines or anything in place. Thank you.
Thank you.
I want to say something that if the MEC is not the originator, the head monitor. I don't know. Because now, what I'm saying now is that it means that the council can have those policies and monitor themselves. Now, all monitor, if the implementation thereof is up to scratch, that's my problem. But as I like to say, if it's left to the council to monitor themselves, in my judgment, now, look at this intervention that we're busy trying to do. It's more than 6 interventions that we're going to handle now. And that's step why. Because they're free for all day. They're free for all. Now, here, we're doing the same thing now. These customers monitor and regulate themselves. You know? It's a cry about Chinese car. Traditional calls. My own business. I mean, they can't monitor themselves. They must be there to see that. Now, when you say, I don't know, Chen. I don't know. Because even in how it is captured here, I'm saying this all the time because English is not in my head family. I thought you would talk about monitoring the implementation of the policy. But here we're saying we monitor the policy. Rather than monitoring the implementation of the policy. Because I want to regulate this thing and there must be some monitoring of this policy. how it's implemented. Now, here why we are monitoring the policy. How do you monitor the policy? Just monitor the policy. The policy is there. What I want to monitor is the implementation thereof. That's my stupid argument. Okay.
I think that argument is quite valid. To me, I think when he made proper, you can say that the UC must monitor the policy. Based on the commercial framework. Meaning that you are not to individual policy at a concept, but it's a framework. Okay. That says no ultimate. Based on the commercial framework. It means then that it comes as a policy and the individual framework according to the framework. That way then they can use it and not say no, you're out of line. Between lines and so on and so forth. So I think we can prove that based on the concept. Then we are saying then that we are on the one open up then.
Go up to the
state. Yeah. Which can you suggest a phrase? Hey. On that one. Use your applied your mind. You came here prepared with your proposal.
Yeah, I have to work for my bonus. I think we said in the paragraph, in the actual bill that is before us, we say a metro or local council must develop, develop, and determine the criteria for a calculation
of
a policy. For calculation or other purposes, referred to paragraph C in terms of
the provincial
framework referred to, and then you just cross-reference the one in the bottom.
Yeah. Your country comes out again. Yeah, I think that way, it makes things easier. You know, I was told by about two companies. The other one, I think, is in Malaga. They were saying that the municipal councillors have increased their salary. This was determined by the independent commission. But you know, when they feel that, no, there's no presenting it. Now, the two things happen. Was really, especially sometimes with Die Hard, it's very difficult. I think we'll cover that one, right? And we'll then move.
Which says the section 73 to be members
are elected for terms that correspond with the term referred to in Section 24 of the Act. Now, the term referred to in Section 24 of the Act is the term of a municipal council. So we're saying that the term of a ward committee now corresponds to the term of a municipal council. That's what the adopted word is. Then we have identified sub 2 now that says the minister may by notice in the government budget prescribe their relations for the implementation of subsection 1.
What does that mean?
It means that, you see, when we, because the minister, in terms of section 24, prescribes the date of the election, and 24 gives the minister the power. Now, if you coincide in the terms of the ward committee with the term of the council for stability, then there's going to be a situation where possibly between now and the next election there is nothing in place. You're wanting the ward committees now to have an election. But as Mr. Alchie has pointed out, you don't in legislation provide that one situation. And there could be others with one situation. So you have to say that the minister may by notice in the government today should have regulations for the implementation of subsection 1. In other words, this empowers the minister now to make provisions for, in addition to those charges that we had in section 24, a previous in which councils must have new elections, the ward committees must have new elections, elect their chairperson between now and 2011. Otherwise, we're going to have a situation where there's nothing in place for that purpose.
No, I think that the principle of saying that, I mean, this thing, that's why later on I come in. I'm not a federalist. I'm a realist. In a sense that there are processes that are in national nature. The issue of world committees and the elections is a national process. You can't have a situation where in Guatemala is different from Saudi and so on. That we require a national approach in that. To me, that's why I was referring with you earlier. Because the issue of the problem, there's no country in there. It doesn't require national norms or standards. Whereas how we look at the national responsibility, but you require norms or standards at the national level. But people are able to look at the application of the difference in their own local, right? That's why it's successful. But here, you require to me a national approach. Because we are talking about the theme of election, right? And I think you are raising another dimension of saying there must be stability. If you want a structure to monitor and to work with the country, the terms of the thing, in terms of the way it is used, so that you ensure that there is stability and so on, people are assured. To me, which I think is a good thing. The third thing that you are raising is that there must be the implementation of the constitutional standard monitor, which is correct. The first to ensure that the country can see with the implementation of it. To me, I think it makes sense. You know, the issue that is a bit of a challenge is, but I think maybe the religion will be there. I mean, around if you want. If then, you know, how to, if people are unhappy about the old committee, how do you remove it, for instance, right? But I'm saying something that may be the regulation, with a clear thought and so on, also a regulation, you can include that, and there's not an agent that you can see around. Because, you know, we're talking about one area where somebody had to be removed. But they were saying, no, they were no rules. They say this thing, this person is elected for a few months. There's nothing that says how to remove this person in the policy. Now, but then people found a way to say, no, the guy step down. And then when you are step down, you're not there. Then it means efficiency. Then we can elect another person. Say, so sometimes you don't foresee that. But I think for now,
thanks, Chairperson. I just wanted to have a clarity here. Are we saying the term of the ward committees should be equivalent to the term of the council? At the moment, what is the? I believe at the moment it depends on the particular council to say 3 years. And then, if you are saying that it is practical, I mean, where we can have the ward committees and the council to have the same term, because I believe the council forms, I mean, the council is the one which establishes the ward committees, and it goes with the functions and all that. Now, if you say they have to be elected at the same time, how practical is that?
What they are saying, what I'm saying, is that the term of it means council is elected, from there the council gets the process of establishing the. But it means keeping it active. The issue, I mean, I understand, you know, we're used to this thing of saying no. You must not have a long term, long time in office. But democracy can take a course. Issues like healthy, they must be moving. I mean, that's not good that we're used to. We're generally all structured. 5 years, they very difficult. But not 5 years, this will be there for 5 years. This is very difficult. Let me agree with that. But I think what the argument, which to me, I think over the experience, by the way, I think we're in trouble, guys. Is that this thing of electing people in two terms affects the stability of the practice? Two, it affects its delivery, because you must train these people, they must learn the rules, and so on, and all that. And at the end of the day, it creates problems. And to me, that's why I'm saying the issue of a remover must be an exception. Meaning, I'm not going to figure the exception clause here. No, no. I'm saying the norm is that people are there, and you expect them to be there. But there must be mechanism in the event that there is so much activity that you are able to change. The fact is in the relation with that can be done. But remember, the issue of the state is about stability, predictability, and ensuring that this is too much in giving it time. But I know it's very difficult because even in practice, political parties, it's very difficult to give them a term of a structure of a party to say it must be equal to the term of government. It's still not easy. It's difficult. Now, when you come here, it's not easy. But I think that's a great domain. I mean, the department has told the government to say this is a proposal. Novello? What else do you want to say?
I'll go with the 5 years. You look at both of the business, we've had 3 mayors in 1 year. So I agree with the 5 years.
We agree with the clause proposed. But I think that we're all in the regulations, you know, when you put this recommendation thing, you must look at it, consider that things must think it about.
Okay, just to enlighten you, our principal said that he said that the term of office is determined by a matter of local council. That means theoretically, they have divergent terms right throughout the whole country. And secondly, one can set terms because of filibuster. You know what I mean? You're like get people out or something. And you need to break the ward committee from this filibustering thing. So you fix the term. In terms of law, you fix it. And therefore, after a while, you know, and then it also, as the white paper, you know, it also caters for the transition. As the white paper becomes more clearer on these matters, we cater for the transition. And in the regulation, the minister will pronounce on the period, the day, and any other matters. In terms of vacating the office of the chairperson and the ward committee, if you look at the consequential amendments for the ward committee, you will see that the municipal council must make the rules and regulations and procedures for the election of the chairperson, and it says there also the circumstances under which those members and the chairman must vacate office. So that compromise will be fine, you know, if there's non-attendance, you know, there's a breakdown, and you know, all those things, you know, the circumstances that they, the municipality is the one who establishes the ward committee.
No, it's the attraction. I mean, you can't generalize. To me, I think if you're listening to all these, the speaker players and all that, this is a local question. Although the, you know, the company is a local level. They charge everything that happens at that localism. They must do anything like it's the natural function of the function to run the Cambodia. But they must mimic their own arrangements at that level. To me, I think some doesn't want to be that. When we look at the local legislation on the speaker and other level of. Now, I think the institutions that are good. I think we agree with that. I think that there are those who must include in the training. And I think the whole community is currently trained differently, so other than those companies, they don't know anything. I think the process of democracy must really be key about the party, at the minimum. But like, they are the individuals there. Yeah. Depends upon if the speaker is nice for them. He is regularly. Like the situation here, in Stellenbosch, this area is all going to the environment of people here. The real problem is that they are not compromised, they are not undermined. They have a goal there, they change. Leron, do you want to say something? Leron, do you want to say something?
Sorry, which one?
We agree on this one, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You're confident?
Yeah.
No, the department agrees with that.
But you must know that if you don't agree with others, you come back. You review the whole thing. You know, negotiations with salary. You move and move. You say, no, if you don't agree with this, you can stand the pressure for you. Then,
Yeah, it's dictated, and then this is the code clause.
functions and powers between the constitution of the municipality of Cape Elgin in section 84.1 A, B, and then on this. It was stated with effect from the date of commencement of the Act until a later date to be determined by the Minister of Finance and Government Directors. And then there would be a B to that clause. The MEC for local government may be exceptional cases, and after consultation with the Minister of Finance, lift the suspension for the purposes of making an adjustment of a power and a function between the they, of course, exceptional cases, we understand, will treat it in the same way as the one we dealt with earlier. But here we have two options. The one that I've just sent out, and I take the option, is leaving the clause as it is with a clause, which is the exception clause, which is the one preferred by PCLG, which says the MEC may offer consultation with the Minister of Finance in exceptional cases, such as those referred to in section 87.1 of the Municipal Tax Act, side on the difference between the period and period referred to in A and B. So that is at this junction the committee must obviously decide with which option. And that is there were four options. One was the time period that we dropped off, a shorter time period. The second one was what the demarcation board proposed for having no time period at all. The section 85, we just removed the time period. That is the one preferred by the demarcation board. The third option here that I've laid out is the one preferred by National Affairs, Resolver and Demarcation Board. And the second option is the one preferred by the third option.
All right. That is it. Conversion clause. That doesn't matter. It's also that until there's a date determined by the Minister in the contract. And with the exception clause, or if they are in the principal bill, and then include the exception clause. The department does not give a little chance. It wants to modify the area code. No chance is there. No discretion there is a leader. You know, politics is about discretion. When you are leader as a politician, the first one keeps in power. The appeal is to make general. You know, things must not be defined too much. Otherwise, you work in a way that is very true. Yeah. Must have been heavy. Now let's see what people are saying. Well, here is this two proposals in front of us. Of course, I mean, what informs us as school of analysis whether this thing is correct or not? Our school of analysis, and I think we've developed them over time, that you know, look at whether this thing is correct or not, what our objective is and all that. I think that's what we look at. Colleagues, which option? The truth of the rest can tell you, man, this one is correct, no, that one is not correct. Okay.
Maybe it's a second sentence. Who agrees on what? Because under that said,
yeah.
The department agrees on something, but they reject it. I don't, and they are not going to be part of the first two options. They are only, if I heard correctly, they're only accepting on page 3, the close 2, no, option 2, sorry. If I understood the other one.
Sorry, the
Department
agrees on
something, but they reject
it.
Yeah.
If you remember the demarcation board made up the case for the white paper being in progress and other schools that the burden on MECs and so on, and that both the demarcation board and national treasury felt that there would be more certainty if powers remain where they are at the moment, and they didn't want that situation, the status quo, to be disturbed unnecessarily unless an urgent situation arises that requires a transfer of an adjustment. they should do a moratorium so that all the functions remain as they are at present, and only in an emergency should there be an adjustment. So this was the position taken by National Treasury, by SALGA and the Demarcation Board. This is the position that UCLG feels very uncomfortable about.
So it's 3-1. But I don't think I'll be fair. I was just about to ask where is our legal advisor stand in this case?
No.
Our advocate, where does he stand on this matter? Because we can't get to this negotiation, Cordessa and any kind of arrangement. But there was no consensus. We thought that there will come to some agreement, you know, just some compromise, but there must be some merging of some ideas. But then coming with options, and you see that this is how I have asked your opinion as to where you stand.
No, you're right.
On which side are you?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The honourable member is very unfair, because the chairperson will say, even if there's disagreement, come to us with the disagreement, and that is what I've done in this case. But the construction of this clause, you know, whilst the principle of the policy issue sits well with me, and especially since the people who are most affected by it feel comfortable with it. They feel that they shouldn't be, it wouldn't be the norm that there would be a need, that the need would arise for division of power consumption. Now, I'm not an authority to speak to that. In fact, the chairperson has just pointed out that the Natal representative this morning actually raised issues that may give rise to this clause being implemented. So, but the construction of the clause, I've never seen such a construction before. But on the policy issue, I'm quite comfortable since the specialists in the area, the technical, the experts who have practical experience, they are most comfortable with the clause.
Which one?
The first option.
The first option.
The option that suspends and takes the moratorium. The Demarcation Board makes very strong arguments, and I personally was very convinced by the arguments of the Demarcation Board in the sense of this clause, because the arguments were that there shouldn't be much need for transfer of functions and powers, and there would be more certainty, and any kind of consent at all would add a huge burden on the MEC. And they came up with quite a few very good standard points which they put to the committee last time. And as I said, National Treasury was perfectly comfortable with this suspension as well, in light of the fact of the new policies that are being worked on. And it does still allow for an emergency situation where the MEC can decide to lift the suspension for a particular occasion.
Alright,
Mark,
you're very
limited.
The board is in your court now.
Yeah, after listening to the last input, you know, it's just a pity because I know it's just a thing. You tried to have to hurt your principal talk to us, you know, in some corner, but unfortunately, we didn't succeed. Even the deputy. Yes. I'm not going to the executive chairperson. He said this department. I remember you said that the administration tried to meet us halfway, but they were talking about some of the things that they don't take to. Unfortunately, because this separation of power is taken and a few parliaments, their power and their role to play as well. And left with no choice but to take some other, with either option one or two. Now, I'm looking at the case, looking at who are people who are affected by this thing. Now, obviously the department is playing a key role in making sure that everything runs so smoothly. At the same time, I look at who are the people who are affected. SALGA is one. the demarcation body, the one as well, and the MEC, who serves the chair, are affected as well. And and Yen says I go for option or whatever, but maybe share the department if there's some compromise in it. Because we I think we'll spend more time on the case, and we ready to I think today we can't postpone the NFL. Today we're going to vote on this thing, we can't postpone that thing. I think but another one will buy the time. But let's reserve my preference for now, whatever I hear from the department. But I say advocate on to come to our aid.
Chair, we had originally reached our consent. I think that is a quality in the discussion. We prefer to remain with the clause as it is in the bill, but with an exception clause, and of course with the 6 months, reduced to either 3 or 4 months, as may be suitable to both the Market Board and National Treasury. Let me just say that, in terms of implementation, the actual, the department has to oversee law. It has to administer and oversee law. And it does not want to run into problems with making law for other incumbents. And number two is that the actual people that actually are affected in the implication is really the MEC and municipalities. Because, he has to make a judgment call on adjusting powers and functions. And as you said earlier on, they are increasingly now, in the KZNK, cases being made now to adjust powers and functions. Thirdly, this matter also is a matter of service delivery issue. And you might find cases where service delivery breaks down completely. You're going to have to act. And we all know that increasingly, as we've seen in the last year or so, increasingly we've seen protests starting to emerge around service delivery. And so the MEC then would as occurrences take place, of that nature take place, is going to have to act. Therefore, we feel that our suggestion should stand because it provides a sufficient exception to the current clauses in the bill. And the construction that is currently in terms of suspension is it's an unusual construction where Parliament makes something, MEC lifts it, and it could also be a matter of contestation if there are disputes about dividing powers and functions, and you know that municipalities are taking even the MEC and the minister to court. Now, at the moment, we enjoined in an embodied court case over our regulations, which means that municipalities, if they want to challenge it, they're going to challenge and they look for every loophole. And that's our concern around these issues. And it seems as if that the severity of suspending a clause is a matter that one should tread lightly in light of the fact that this clause is directly related to issues of service delivery. Thank you.
And
if we
agree with
this,
now we
the know, allowing a more, having a more, a more usual construction, for lack of a better word, with that shortened time period and the exception clause, I'm sure that we will see everyone comfortably, because the 4 months would address the concern of the immediate with the approval of National Treasury, and the exception clause will in any event then cover the exceptional cases.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You know, the tools of analysis is that, you know, as I said earlier on, there are responsibilities that are undertaken as required the national approach that are non-governmental. There are things that are so localized that require the people at the level. Now, to me, this thing is done by the incident of the six, right? This thing of allocation of power to the party, right? Now, if you look at the deal, that power is removed from the MC. It goes up like that. Now, for a minister to look at a Majuba district, whether the water authority adjusts for the function, it's not a good thing. It can't. That thing is supposed to be done by province. It looks as if their thing was going to come down the street, right? Because it doesn't require a national approach. It's more of a localized thing. Therefore, if we're saying, in order to remove the substantive machine addition, putting this thing, you know, the bolt, you know, in this document, in the proposal, the bold thing that says the MEC for local government, the province, may subject to other provinces of the Constitution, like that. By allocating within a prescribed political framework any function called in that sense. You know that sounds good. To me, it was me. I'll support that because of the practical. I think it doesn't require a national approach, the localized individual thing, therefore I think it's together by the government. And I don't see why this thing is removed from the government, right? That's an approach that one takes. Now, on the issue of the 6 months, then I think to me, in the 6 months thing, as it has not done in the earlier talk, we're able to ensure that you do this thing within that period of four months, right? As you agree. If you look at B, of the original B, it means 8.4B. NSC must inform the minister nationally, deal with that in 4 months, then you do that. I'm saying the principle that I'm talking about is that these are localized things, you don't require normal standards nationally, they can be held at that level. To me, that's my view, but that is left to the community to decide. But to me, I want to conclude by saying, from my point of view, myself, I think this thing of suspending a clause is not too good. And I think you come with your own angle, advocate, and saying what is the approach. But to me, I think the suspension of the clause, so that this thing cannot be done, it means you are creating a vacuum in the government. I mean, change all your function.
Yeah, it looks as if we're getting somewhere, because if the department is now compromising on the format, then why is he taking us through some other process? I think there's a draft that you have there, yeah, that I think we can draft that, so that when you finish, at least we're a ready slot that covers both instances. I think that could take us somewhere, because I can see now there's some consensus. This is what we want, you know. Not people to stick through like to their positions, you know. That one can move, you know. Okay. Ahead in mean, cover. So kind of
sandwich. Advocate, you got it. The intention of the lawmaker.
that you look at that, what God will arrange at the core of this thing. We told you.
No, I'll consult with my colleague for that.
Yeah, but one conclude this thing today. It means you must be consulting what you are going on. And then the mail on that, so that he says something to the chief. Then we'll go to clause 9.
Clause 10, we now just have our insertion of close family members. That we insert up front, that we bring into clause 10, because as you can see, clause 10 deals with the Municipal Systems Act, and this definition falls, it's in fact one of the definitions of this act. So, we insert after the definition of citizen in the bill, and that's just in terms of the order. We look for close. We insert close family member. Initially, as worded here, we included dependent. We included child, dependent, parent, sibling, or spouse. DPLG came back with concerns about dependents and siblings, saying that those can be very wide. For what it's worth, I agree with their concerns, so it's something that the committee must discuss with the committee had agreed on including dependents and siblings. The concern of DPLG is that dependents could be half a community relying on a particular person, and also sibling, as I pointed out earlier, could be someone you're not even aware your father has.
I think it's important to have arranged that last time, right? To say that he has a lot of dependents. And I think most of us,
and
the issue of siblings, I think, is the chief. You have
sorry, I just want to ask from what has been said by my colleague. During the day, we discussed the issue of partners in terms of siblings. I raised that issue that I feel that it has not been covered. I don't know the views of the committee.
And then we talked about it. You put wool on our faces and say, by the union and so on. When it's like a kind of crime. If you have read something and you see the exam the way that relates that one way, you just put it in what you're coming. Now, we saw that as long as it's a union, that when you to the union, it relates, I think that's a thing that's not happening. The hindsight that that's the issue of the civil union. I don't agree with it at all. He has made that public. But I think it was dependent on who the GM should be. He said no, so no. That must be crossed out. Sibling, I think we recognize the fact that we're in Africa here, as an African country. You might find that they're out there. You might be contemplating that these siblings, you really know. I think what we said, the principle that we raised in our people, we said a direct form. That's what we put. It means then that everything was carried by that direct form. So it doesn't include many things. That's what it is. Can we stick to that? Remove this other, change this other thing.
Yeah, cooking. Sibling must go.
Independent. Then the sibling must go. Propose that one must be
there. Sibling must go.
Sometimes the sibling must go.
Just for the sake of complying with the constitution, sometimes you know the covenant
Now come with the proposal, we will do it here. We're moving now. Is there any combination
we have? If you send to the technical committee to write out the proposal.
Chair, what we are saying is that we remove the word dependent, we remove the word sibling, and we've got the or spouse. Now we felt if we use the word or partner and put a full stop, the word partner is catered for in the civil law that our legal people, so it's already defined there as a customary or religious union and so forth. And the rest in the bracket is merely tautology. It's merely just explaining the same thing. If one sees partner, and you refer to the law, it already tells you what it means. Thanks.
Partner.
Yeah.
Not here now.
Instead of spouse.
Or is there a spouse?
That we had, and then add civil.
Yeah. And partner also on the side of the spouse.
Yeah.
You don't, oh, don't have
to we don't need to, we don't need to add it on the
okay.
Side of the spouse.
Baron, are you comfortable?
I look for direction to my lawyer, legal people.
No, I think they agree. Therefore, you are compelled to agree.
Yeah, one minor thing, because we are linking customary or religious. Now what comes after that is union. Now in our case, customary, there's no more a union. It's a marriage. Customary marriage. It's no more a union. That's what we rejected a long time ago. That's if our marriage are called union. So we took exception that aside the decision amendment in the air, the military. That our customary is the customary marriage, not union. So what if you say customary or religious, that means you are calling the customary also a union.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They can look into that.
Now,
if
you say customary marriage or religious union, can you agree on that? Can you agree on that? We move them to clause 11.
Yeah. only because of some conflict in the thing. Yeah, that's it. No other
conflict. Chair, we just want to register our concern on the clause 13. You know, if you remember clearly, you said that we must make it align it with the Public Service Amendment Act, and we have made an alignment there. However, we just want to register that we didn't think that our original intention, where the person must resign on the issue of a certificate, was entirely unconstitutional or out of alignment, because there are prescribed limits in the Constitution on rights. And so we just want to register that we still think that original position, we would have preferred that original position. And also we articulated around the governance issues. But then, remember, the committee also said we must find a way of managing the governance issues. And when we came to this clause, we said any other prescribed limits and conditions provides the opportunity for us to manage the governance issues between a staff member and the municipality when he's participating in elections. Now, we just want to say that, aside from our original position, and we want to say that we've had problems and contestation of the law where in the Municipal Systems Act, it makes a blank statement, and the minister may prescribe anything that, for the facilitation of the act. These matters have become matters of contention now. We are saying that if one uses the word and decides to go with these clauses, and any other prescribed limits and conditions should, in addition, state, as may be regulated by the minister. Because these matters, we're dealing with a case now, and where the serious, various interpretations around the sunset clause, as you can make regulations that the minister might facilitate and so forth. Thanks, Jane. That's why we are concerned.
I think you will be comfortable if you say that as regulated by the minister.
Second comfort, yes, thank you.
No, what you do? We agree on this, you come back and open up. That's what is the building. You know, if we're in the negotiation chamber, we'll say you negotiate in good faith. That you open up things that have been agreed upon in the past. But we understand that we've contacted the people. Okay, thank you.
Everyone raised this issue yesterday.
Yeah.
When I was drafting this amendment, I could say that in section 1 of the act, it has been defined, the meaning of prescribed is defined in the vehicle code regulation. But I saw no reason of repeating. But if that is the case, it will be up to the committee. So, by the minute you say prescribed, you go to section 1. Prescribed has been defined in section 1. That prescribed is in a crime with regulation. So, that was my position.
I think the first thing that we must agree upon, Mayor, that I must tell the committee will take the value to the highest level. Mm-hmm. You know, there are things that we talk about at the bottom line. But we are prepared to take this thing to wherever it is. The committee is convinced that you can only be resigned if you are elected.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm not convinced.
Yeah.
We're not shifting on that. No amount of engagement can shift that. Because we feel it's a violation of the rights of those that you resign on the mere fact that you're in the list. What happens if you don't get this?
Yeah.
You have lost a job, you have lost everything. And it's unfair. That's why we said the way of managing is to come with things that manage the relations in the process. That's how we are prepared to consider that. But the principle was sticking to it. And therefore, to us, we feel that one is it's non-negotiable. Let me put that.
in engagement on the session. That's why we agreed with you that this thing was the code of conduct that you have and so on, that is giving this any other right. Probably then the best thing to do is that we can concede with you in as far as the limited conditions that I put there. But I must tell you, my Lord, which I think something that must convey very clear. If you go out and change this thing, whatever you want to change it, whether it's in the National Assembly, that is going to make us to take the battle better. And the part is going to happen. That must be key. The bottom line that we have for this thing ourselves, that we believe that are good for ourselves and so on. In fact, we are pushing for the strengthening of Parliament. We believe that over here, Parliament has been infected with just a challenge in terms of it not being strong to engage the executive. Now, want to show that. Now, I'm saying this way, you must convey very clear that these arguments, no matter how bitter they might be, they must be stuck. And they must be carried through. Because in the event they are carried through, you might find that when we engage at 11, where this thing must pass in the NAD, you might find that we're the best. Engage for the preparation of other things. Like we're uncomfortable. Well, it doesn't mean not to agree with everything. There are things that we're uncomfortable about here, yeah, but we feel in the interest of moving forward, let's do it. Now I'm saying that's what the committee is supposed to do. Because this is a parliamentary process. It means it is a parliamentary process. The executive can look. But at the end of the day, people will take this in parliament and it's structured for that. And that's why we'll be taking the intended. Now I'm saying that's true, you must be clear, so that when you convey that, you must understand that the committee is feeling very strong. And I'm saying we're prepared to take this thing to the room and whatever. Because the NAP people, they are also instructed what to do. They have both principles.
No, Chef, we support you fully from this side of the table and that other side of the table as well. Now, the reason being that we have said it all and over again that last year in October, somewhere, we passed an act now where the Minister of Public Service Administration brought the same plot to us here. And for us, putting it clear to say, no, nobody will run before you are elected. Because we understood as to whether to be royal there. So he said, no. In fact, what must happen is that you can only resign when you are a permanent delegate or a member or a council. But to resign before, I mean, that's because I'm sure this particular is your thing. That's only I think is clear. We're coming in there, we're coming in there. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mugana. Then I advocate the government, but in here, let's talk about all of this.
Yeah.
Right. Actually, I think one thing that we're raising on that meeting was to urge the department to start find themselves having to work together from time to time to avoid to appear to be competing other than companies in the country. They have great problems. The very same point that you are making, a lot was cut the last year in October. So I've read this position. Now, this department seems to be unhappy with the wording of this one. What does that mean? It means it contradicts the other law that you have. And this law are passed by the same government. I think that's a little bit unfair. And it actually says to us, the departments are not really working, they're working inside the screen, thank you very much. they see themselves as each other and as this competition. Players who are competing against each other rather than working together to ensure that they do the right thing. I think that must be discouraged, because I'm ensuring that.
Now, the
worst
thing,
one
is that this department is actually in a cluster of calmness, let me say. Seems like, let alone if you have made the economy something in the media and understand, but let alone that they go to the same presenters in the same cabinet and committees and but that's something that I think what you are saying then, I think we are saying to us, and I think the area that we are saying that the thing of society and policy has come into the minister for company was our intention as determined by the minister or company. Because we agree that there must be national norms and standards, and we believe that falls within that aspect of national norms and standards, this aspect. And we don't have any problem in dealing with that. Therefore, we think that it can go in that way. Now, I think we've covered everything that needs to be covered. Now, what we are supposed to come to now, unless there's something that is still outstanding.
We
didn't get
your final position.
Yeah. So they
said he didn't get. Yeah, no, you are still focusing.
Okay, I'm focusing.
No, what we are saying, Chief, you know, something that if people find an emphasis, not an issue. You know, if you feel that if emphasizing by saying that prescribed means and conditions as determined by the minister, what comfort is not a problem with that.
I thought you said we are not comfortable. Are you changing? I thought we were asking that we are not doing that. Now
okay. No, some people, what we are saying, you know what we are agreeing upon is that the first thing is that no person must be removed because they are candidate up until they are elected. That one is sacrosanct. There's no shift. But we recognize that we're talking about here employees, where you find that your duty, you're attacking your duty. Now we're saying that the minister can come with things that regulate a relationship in terms of employees, without these employees, a way of working together, that's what we're talking about. But the principle of resignation, no compromise. We're talking about the practical management of a relationship. Colleagues prescribed. Well, they've raised one thing, they've raised the code of conduct that is dealing with new staff members. Mm-hmm. But also, they're saying, in addition to that, if they're in a matter of business, they can be covered by this prescribed limits and conditions. What they think is that they can develop that. It's more of practical relations, but not temporary relationships. That's what I was saying about it.
Is that on top of the code of conduct?
Yeah, they are saying that top, because they are saying there are unforeseen things that you might not know. Like there's a code of conduct that developed in 2000, right? There are things that you might not, that are developed that are new, that you might not know. I mean, we made an example about the issue of Paduna Khan, where the DPG, the office of the premier, when you form a social party, and you find that this thing comes in your office as a premier. Then we must have a way that if the different person is not removed as an employee, maybe but to develop a way of relating. Because when you go to the ground to go and campaign, you find that this person was the one to your power as a governing party. Now, this person must come and work with you in the office tomorrow. Verify you tonight. Tomorrow morning, come and work with them. Now you must have a way of managing that. This code of conduct has not anticipated on that. Now, but you must develop means and ways of responding. That's what we are using. It's more of a practical, but not the critical, that we are talking about. That's what we're talking about. Management of the critical. That's good, right? We follow.
Yeah. I don't know if I think that let's work on things on the same book here.
Okay.
I wonder if it's necessary to have this prescription. Well, the code of conduct is there. I'm now thinking that it's really necessary. if they can just because if the principle is there, I mean, this is all what democracy is all about. You know, if he wants to campaign or whatever, as long as it doesn't violate some laws in the department. Because if he starts doing some other things, I think people will be charged there internally and otherwise. But when it comes to scriptures, again, because elections are governed by particular acts and all normal processes will follow. Once you jump out of it, then obviously IEC and whatever, they'll deal with you. But unless if we're missing something yet. Or just being a man knowing about this scripture and stuff.
Before we come to the 15,
Jeff, sort of point out the clause in the Public Service Amendment Bill, Act, and also what is now appearing, does say blah blah candidate for election, national, provincial, and all that, and then it says subject to a code of conduct, and it goes on to say and any other prescribed limits. So it's exactly the same as that. All we are saying is that if you're accepting this thing, just give it more teeth in order to avoid ambiguity and problems and contestation by saying as may be regulated by the minister.
Sorry,
Chair. On that point, I want to agree with the sector advisor who pointed out that Section 1 defines prescribed. There's no one else who can prescribe these limits and partitions. It says prescribed means prescribed by regulation or guidelines in terms of Section 120. And Section 120 says the minister may by notice in the Gazette and after consultation with organized local governments, etc., etc. It's a very long clause. But you may make regulations, you may issue guidelines that are binding and so on and so on.
We think that there is a problem when it comes to interpretation on the ground and contestation around the issue. The reason why in that 120 they listed all the things, because they didn't want that. They could have said the minister might make regulations. And because we don't want the contestation, we wanted to make it be more explicit, where we can say, you know, instead of going to the 120 and say, any limits and price, we can just do it here. To be more explicit.
Oh, well, I can't know that you all say. We're hearing what you're saying, man.
I think, Myron, you know, Chair, a contract, they are aware of the normal issue. It can have been hidden. You will see when there is a problem that is. We're not trying to hide anything, but it's a normal drafting standard that there's no need to do, which means it means there's no need to define prescribed. But if the mayor is insisting, we can, you know, but the purpose of defining that prescribed in Section 1 was to cater for this situation.
Now, you know what is happening? You know, it also says that something like it. No, I took my chance to school. They said, no, you pay this much per quarter. Or you pay this per month.
Yeah.
Now, I find this thing. My child went to school in February. People go in January. Now, I must pay for January. When I protested, they asked me to vote for us. They say, no, you signed. Yeah. Right. Anyway, this thing, that's what I'm saying. Sometimes what we are saying is quite true. It's a practical thing. It's a ridiculous thing. I say, I can't say for this that you can. They say, no, you signed. Now, this is like this. But later on, I think what is raising here is to listen very carefully. Which I think is, before I come to my interpretation, he says he wants the minister to have a catapult. The problem of the synapse is doing is limiting, is defining area. The problem. Now you are saying the minister must be able to do things that are not, might not be. Now the issue then is that, to me, you know, that the way of drafting is not consistent.
not going to send mail. Because on the areas where the MEC has the responsibility, you're prepared. You're prepared. I mean, you can go to all the clubs. That will put a section where you say, no, the MEC must do this in terms of this and so on, right? Maybe that you wanted to ensure that there is no discussion. I mean, remember, I talk about discussion. That you follow a particular line. Now you are saying here, no, it must be different. I mean, that's too many. Lack of consistency in your approach.
Okay. If you see there's a new clause that we added in 7,
yeah.
We accepted the two clauses. The one clause says the work committee shall correspond to the listing. And then we said, subsection 2, the minister may by notice in the gazette prescribe regulations for the implementation of that.
Yeah.
You see, these are new rules, right? That's because they're new, we need to state specifically. We've done that. And I was saying maybe the similar thing we can do with the one with limits and prescribes and so forth. So it's not out of order because you're already doing that. All the other option is to amend section 120 and, you know, and say regulations on for limits and prescribes and conditions of the thing and so forth and so forth. Because I tell you these things will end up in contestation in some way or the other. Because we are having that kind of consultation now with one of our regulations.
Okay.
Thank you, Richard. You know, the clause which my own is talking about, I was going to raise that with the technical committee and bring it forward to the committee. In fact, it's very good for when you are drafting an act to be consistent. Because when we draft act, we are thinking of the audience. Just ordinary people on the ground who are going to read it, you know. That's why it's very important for anyone to, when he is drafting an act, to be consistent, you know. It's a question of consistency.
Okay. Brian, I think you want to do something. No, what makes me jump is when Umar was saying, maybe we'll amend some of the statement of what was it. What was the question of what can take us? What I want to come to check is that because now, Parliament wants to do this thing, I want to check if what we're putting forward as this committee, is there anything unconstitutional to our proposals? Because we can't tell about semantics and stuff, because the principle is there. Now, what we're putting is there, is there anything unconstitutional to what we're saying? That's not what we're here now, because the policy is clear. And what we want is the is clear now. I don't check from legal goals. In this clause that we're proposing, and what we want to put here, is there anything unconstitutional as far as
no, in fact, the proposed clause is in principle in line with the Constitution.
Yeah.
And there's nothing unconstitutional.
Yeah.
And I would also be wary of changing Section 120. And Section 120, sub 7A, makes provision that regulations in terms of the subsection, in terms of the section, must be submitted to Parliament at least 30 days before the publication of the Gazette. Now, we haven't considered why that was included. Sometimes included when regulations come to Parliament, other times not. And those are policy decisions that are taken for specific reasons. And I think that's going to open a whole different tool. And if we're going to, in another clause, make provisions for the minister's prescribe without making cross-reference, then in one piece of legislation, we're going to have different choices for regulating.
All right. Neuron, I'm on the roof.
Chair, I think Ali Karim pointed that if we have to say, then, you know, regulations, it's standard and accepted now, regulations must come to Parliament. I don't think there's any doubt about that. It's standard. There's no such thing as far as I know of, from my short experience,
where regulations don't come. I mean, if they don't come to Parliament, it's because of some omission or oversight on the part of the department and so forth. So I would think that we must make some reference to regulations being made about these two issues. The first issue that I mentioned before in the other call, and this issue on limits and prescribed limits somewhere, so that there's no contestation around that issue. Thanks.
Yeah, I think
that
on regulation must make a decision. Laws on regulation.
Why?
What is the feeling of the
member?
Why are you agreeing that? We are not. Why? But this person has a right to come with the regulation, there is one thing. Do you know? On any law. And this must come to Parliament. That is because we are not compromising with men on the same. Now we are very, our eyes are wide open, our ears.
Chair, not all regulations come to Parliament. It's only where the provision, the enabling provision specifically requires.
Now I'm saying we'll take a decision that no regulation must be drafted as one that comes to Parliament. Because that's the implementation of the law. We must cross reference and check whether it is consistent with the primary legislation. Now that's the point we have taken. That we are not going to allow now. This thing, that thing was not coming. It's not on my presence. My own was right. In a short experience, you know that the committee is not taking anything. Now, what I'm saying about this thing, later on, we talk about the regulations, but the regulations which should be developed in this, whenever vital will come, must mention that. What is the feeling of the committee?
No, yeah, that's the normal practice here, because in all this, it's either at the end, somewhere there or wherever, they said no regulations. The Minister of the UN said many regulations, because the regulations are part of the act and the regulations. So. That's what I'm saying. My argument was on the...
That will go and change those?
Yes.
Okay. I think what is happening now on then is that we can include that law, Chief. Of making regulations on this issue. It will come, yeah, but maybe Mr. Mm-hmm. will make regulations. It should come here. You can't avoid us. Okay. We'll engage. But as you are saying, you want to look at other additional matters that will assist in regulating this, which I think the committee agrees. If I take it, that you should engage in any of that.
Sorry,
Chair,
I'm not sure if I understand the committee. I'm not sure if the
doctors
understand you either.
I was going to ask the question again. I didn't get you.
There are two things that you have talked about.
No, I'm interested in this one of including those that may be regulated, but whether the committee is fine with that.
Yeah, that's what the committee says.
Okay, but that was the only issue.
Yeah, no, the committee has kept the normal thing.
Okay.
It means you can say, Mayor, that we consider the normality. Then we speak to that with my friend.
Thank you, Chief.
Speak back to me. Because, that's how it goes. Now, I think what we have to do is then, why don't we then do the formal process, you know, the motion now.
Chairperson, just before we start with the formalities now, I would just like to outside to say that I think the committee and you as chairperson and the officials have done an excellent job, and I think that we should all be proud of the way that as you know, our corporate is very much like Latulia House. And what Latulia House says is law. So as you know, Shepard, we have a fundamental problem with our whole question of moving towards a single administration. And the corporate felt that because in the bill there is this coupling between the Minister of Local Government and the Minister of Public Service, like to abstain from working. Okay, thank you very much.
No, no, we really appreciate that. Like, you know, you when you work with colleagues, you don't get surprised when things happen without you being informed. At least you are for all, and you are for told you are here. And we appreciate that. But at the same time, I think there is a caucus, maybe they are supposed to listen to that. That, you know, it's like a child with cramp. That is so that as long as there is a minister of public service, listening up to this one, just bad. Without looking at the very history, what was the reason? Therefore, the authority happens in the time to claim. I think we take that point. We are highly appreciated. I think let's go then to the motion of desirability.
Before we go to the motion, we get some instructions to the department to draft that paragraph, that clause, that the compromise between the department and everybody. So that before we vote, we must know that what we're all voting on.
I was hoping that the chairperson will give us maybe a 10-minute break so that we can. because you know, we have been listening to the discussions, because we have to catch the discussions as well. At the same time, we could not concentrate to both things.
Now,
why are we not doing the processes, or maybe to pass the motion and then with the knowledge that clause is going to be ratified instead of waiting, because we know they are going to change it. Why are we not
it's
a progressive idea. Okay. Well, I think now the time is really far. But it means I'm supervised, that, yeah?
Okay. Are you going to look at the amendment?
Yeah.
Our draft tomorrow, maybe.
Yeah.
I'm
delegating the power.
Okay.
But I can't delegate.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we must make sure that the committee is satisfied.
Yeah. No. Then can is anybody want to pass the motion of disability as right?
Murana?
Any second?
So move.
Thank you very much, Murana. Any second?
I do second.
Okay, thank you very much. Can you go then to this window by thought? Well, is it entitled? Any input? Then we come to chapter 1. We're dealing with that. What is the view?
Close one agrees.
Yes. Close one agrees.
Yes.
Close two?
As amended. Yes. Agrees.
Close three?
Agrees.
Agrees. Close four?
Agrees.
Close five?
Agrees.
Close six? As amended.
As amended. Yes. Yes.
Clause 7.
Seven.
Clause 8.
Yes.
As amended, as to be amended. Yes. Yeah.
Okay, I mean,
yes.
Clause
9.
Clause 10. Clause 9
as
come on, let's get them.
Clause 17.
Is amended.
Clause